Well, good morning, church. How are we this morning? All right, we got one over there, Jim McKee. Thank you. Hey, my name is Michael Tropea. I serve here as the campus pastor, and I'm grateful to be back with you today. For those who are new, welcome. We hope you find people. We hope you see Jesus above all that, but a community of faith as we serve to be and make disciples for the glory of God. That's our heartbeat as a church. I have been away for a number of weeks, 1 week in a men's wilderness trip in Colorado, as I mentioned last week, and away in upstate New York where I'm from. So I'm just grateful to be back with you, grateful to be here and teaching today. And when I was in New York for 10 days, again, upstate New York, Syracuse area, I got to spend some time with family. It was really good for my soul. Our family got to meet what I've called him as Jelly Roll, a.k.a. Abram, our son for the first time, so family got to meet him. It was a great time. And you see, whenever I go back to New York, it rushes in memories of where I'm from. Hey, every single time I go back, I drive around and drive around the community that I'm in. And I'm like, I remember what happened in that house. I remember what I did there that I shouldn't tell publicly here. And I remember the sports team that what I did on that field, things of that nature. Family, it was great to see family. My niece, who's now 4 years old, haven't seen her in probably, I think, 2 years. She comes up and rushes up, and Uncle Mikey, she like bear hugs me, and I'm like, wow, you are grown. You know what I mean? And it's always a good time to reconnect with where I am from. You see, remembering where we came from, where I came from, where I was formed, the things that I walked through that God has allowed me to, it's a really recalibrating thing for my soul. And two places that I like to go each and every time, or one is here, this field. Picture of a field. That is the high school that I went to. I rode the bench a lot on that field, so I didn't actually play on it that much. But I sit there, and people are probably like, why is he sitting there for that long? But it's one of those sacred spaces that I go and remember. Here's another one. Here's a picture of the community that I ministered in. It was a lake community, Skinny Atlas Lake, and it's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. But it allows me to remember and rehone on, like, hey, where I came from, what my life was like. And gratitude and mission really have flowed from this place and helped me understand, hey, why I'm here with all the things that God has allowed me to walk to. It's a remembering moment. You see, we as a community, we must remember where we come from. Oftentimes throughout Scripture, God says to his people, hey, remember where you came from. Remember how I worked. They oftentimes built altars and as remembrance points as the people walked away, just to not think they did this on their own, but to remember the God that walked with them through this. And so what I want to call us into over these next 4 weeks together, before we start 20 plus weeks in Hebrews, which I'm excited for, by the way, is to remember. Remember where we come from as a people. Remember, why do we do this thing on a Sunday morning? Why do we gather this way? Are we called to give generously with all that we've been given in life? Why are we called to sing and grow with others in community? And why are we called to go? So it's a very simple series, but it's something that we need to remember and re-baseline for our souls. Because it's vital. Ooh, here we go. So as I begin today, what I want to focus on is this. What are we doing here? Why do we come here each and every Sunday, get our Starbucks and our caffeine, load our crazy kids into a car if you have kids, and say, this is a good idea for us to do, right? Why do we call you to serve, to give, to sing, to teach? Why do we do this thing called Sunday morning gathering, and why is it important for us today? And so we are going to unearth that, why we do this way. And so if you have your Bibles, Acts 2, 42 through 47, it's a familiar one if you're familiar with being here, but it's a birth moment that I want to talk through. So it'll be up on the screens if you don't have your Bibles. It says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, where do we find ourselves here is the birth of the church. It's a picture of a spirit-filled community that God designed to be his instrument to the world. How did they operate? What fueled them? How did they respond to Jesus? We're going to go into that today in depth. But I want to do a quick biblical overview for you to understand how we got to this picture and how we got to us sitting here today, 2,000 plus years later, of why we do this weekly gathering. So if you know anything about the biblical narrative, in the beginning God created, right? Genesis. And God created man in his image. But what did he say in that Genesis 1 and 2? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. God created community and covenant marriage. And he gave them purpose and meaning to cultivate the garden in which they've been placed, to push back the darkness, to continue to bring life from nothingness. That was our call in community. What happened from there, if you know the biblical narrative? Sin entered Genesis 3. But God still pursued building and setting apart a people. Israel was born. They multiplied in Egypt, and God then rescued them from Egypt, and they multiplied, and they were called to be a blessing to the world, a set-apart people. And if you know the Old Testament narrative, they went between worshiping God, falling away from God, worshiping other idols. It's a picture of our heart as a people. And so he created a people, a community together. At just the right time, Jesus came onto the scene. And did he go solo at it? No. He gathered men and women and disciples to walk with him, to learn from him, to learn what this abundant life here on earth is and how it was meant to be lived in dependence on Jesus. And the narrative goes, he died in our place for our sin. He beat sin and death and overcame it and resurrected. But then he ascended into heaven. And that's where we come upon Acts. And the Holy Spirit fell, speaking in multiple tongues, moved powerfully. And they were speaking the praises of God. And the church multiplied from this point. Peter preaches the first sermon. And this community, this new spirit-filled community is born. These called out ones, the ecclesia, are formed. And it's a people, not a building. Let's remember that. A people were born. And they were centered around these things, to learn God's word, to share life, to worship together, and to see God's mission advance in the world. But why Sunday? Why this day of the week do we gather week in, week out for thousands of years? An author, N.T. Wright, wrote it this way: Sunday became the weekly celebration of Easter. This shift from the Sabbath to the first day was not arbitrary, but it was rooted in the conviction that God's new creation began with the resurrection. New creation was born. The resurrection is the focal point. So we gather on Sunday as a pointer back to that time. Every Sunday is a reminder of Easter, a reminder of the resurrection. And from this point, I'll do a quick lesson from here to today. What happened from this gathering, that disciples were sent out preaching the gospel to the known world, getting bloodied from the mission, that persecution was a part of it. And they met in homes for a couple hundred years because of the persecution. But then they met in buildings around the fourth century as persecution died down on the Christians. Fast forward to 1000 AD, the church schism between the Eastern Orthodox Church, Roman Catholic Church happened, Reformation happens around 1500, but the gathering exists today from that point on. We gather around the person and work and the resurrection of Jesus. But what makes this vitally important that we gather? What's the difference between our gathering and every other gathering that happens at any point in time? What do we hold to? Who are we making known? What's the point? Where does it lead? That's what I want to unpack today is this. It's a simple statement that I want us to remember. I'll say it twice because it is wordy, but we'll go there. All right? Here's a simple idea. We gather weekly around the Word of God to point to the Son of God, to be deployed by the Spirit of God into the mission of God. I'll say that again. We are gather weekly around the Word of God to point to the Son of God, who is Jesus, to be deployed by the Spirit of God into the mission of God. And so we're going to unpack each of those parts of the statement today. First, we gather weekly around the Word of God. What does it say in Acts 2, 40, verse 42? And they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. You see, the first believers centered their gatherings on the teaching of the apostles, the ones who had walked with Jesus for many years and learned under his life and leadership. They didn't have the full canon that we have today. These were unlearned men that even didn't have access to all the scripture, but God worked through them, the Holy Spirit through them, and they spoke the scriptures in the Old Testament. But we have this book today with all its writings, and it is a gift of God to us. If you're familiar with what it talks about as it relates to scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for what? For teaching, what we're doing today. It's profitable for reproof. Who loves reproof, right? We love it. For what? Correction, to be turned away from the way we're walking towards truth, and training in righteousness, right living as God has designed it to be, that the man or woman of God may be complete, not lacking, equipped for every good work. You see, why does scripture matter? Why does this truth matter? Because each and every week we sing about, teach on, live from the self-revelation of God to his people. And that's a grace. We don't have to walk around wondering who God is because he's revealed his character, his attributes to us in this very word. And that's what we gather around. He breathed this into being through the writers and supernaturally composed it so we can know him. Know how to walk. Know how to push back the darkness in our own hearts. Know how what the enemy is doing around us to not have the world come at us, but push back against those things to prepare us and equip us to walk. And it only happens by us knowing him. Like I said, his character, his attributes, his plans and his story and our place in the story. This is what we gather for and on. The Word of God. And as I was thinking about all the different ways we gather, we are going into a season that's already happening now where what do we gather around? Football, right? Football. And I've learned in my 2 years of being here, because I think today is almost the exact date of I've preached for the first time here, that football is a huge thing in Texas. I've learned that quickly. Actually, I learned that in the first 2 weeks of being here. Right? Preseason has already started in the NFL, and I don't think I've watched more preseason games in my life than already. It feels like it's just getting earlier and earlier. And you're like, who watches the preseason? I do. Now, apparently. Right? Because we love gathering around those games, our teams, our college teams. And then what else do we gather around in culture today? Concerts, right? What is the first? I'm a product of the 90s, so bear with me. My first concert that I ever went to, if you're a product of the 90s, is a Goo Goo Dolls concert. I think they still exist. And Goo Goo Dolls and Sugar Ray. Yeah, throwback. That was the first concert I went to, and I know my daughter likes Forrest Frank and wants to go to a Forrest Frank concert, and she's ducking her head like, why are you talking to me right now? We gather around certain things like Dude Perfect Now and all these different things kids love and enjoy. We love gathering around these moments. But here's a reality around these things. The football game ends. The season ends at some point. Like the concert that we listen to, that we know all the songs for, that ends at some point. And at some point in the future, we also forget the songs because it gets watered down. Some nostalgia comes up. That's why we buy tickets to bands that are like 80 years old now, right? But those things still end in fade. But here's something. That's not true with this word. You see, this word has endured thousands of years, and it will continue to endure until Jesus comes again. And each and every week, it is my hope that we anchor ourselves in God's word, because it is the only thing that keeps us anchored in a world of shifting opinions and news, and it's only getting faster. You see, God's word is our compass, that is the only reliable guide that will keep us wandering into our own flesh and brokenness. And it's our compass that will only orient us towards the life God has designed us and points us home to him. Not my words, not a TED talk on how to live better 5 ways. No, the word of God is the guide to us. And so we gather weekly around the revelation of God's heart to his people. And my question is, do you get more excited for I'll call my Aggie fans here, an Aggie game? Yep, they got a few of them. Or do you get more excited about coming into the presence of God with his people on a Sunday morning? Because we have access each and every week to the Creator God who's revealed himself to us. And do we come here expecting to see him? We have his truth and his revelation to change not only an outcome, but also change and transform our lives. What would it be like if you were heading to our gathering each and every week and you prayed before coming? God, help my heart to receive your word today. Help me to sing the truth about who you are loudly. Help me to understand who you are from the teaching to see you today. From whoever is speaking and leading us up here, help me discern and thank you for sharing yourself with us. If you have a whole gathering doing that, I believe that changes things. That changes things. We get the grace of gathering weekly around the word of God, and that differentiates us from every other gathering in the world, and that's eternal and sacred. We must remember that we gather weekly around the word of God, and that's a grace. Secondly, we gather around the word of God to point to the Son of God. We gather around the word of God to point to the Son of God. Back in my first year being here, our elders put on a gathering during Christmas time for the staff, just to thank them for serving. And it's a great time to just be together, be off, not doing together, but being together as a staff. And I really wanted to make a statement with not a lot of money as a first-year gift for the staff that I get to serve with. And I thought it wise to, like, just with money being tight, I was like, I want to give them a picture that represents something. So I framed a little picture, and here is the picture that I framed. I framed a lighthouse. And I wanted it to represent something. And I didn't know there's, like, freaky faces in that waves to the left of the lighthouse. I don't know if you saw that. Didn't know that was there until someone mentioned it. So I tried to play it off a little bit. Didn't have a good answer for it. But we just rolled with it. The meaning of the picture I wanted to for our team was to say, hey, we are lighthouses. We are lighthouses for our people. We aren't the light. The light is to be refracted and reflected through us. And that light only comes from the Son of God and Jesus. But every single conversation we get to have with any one of you should represent a fragrant aroma of Jesus to you. Every single opportunity to share the gospel we step into, pointing to the light of life. We want you to see Jesus above all else here. That is why we point to him. He's every song we should sing about, every message we should give should point to the one who saves our souls, and that's not us. It's the Son of God. You see, in Acts 2, that church arrived there because of what happened before that. You see, Peter was preaching to this crowd of people, and he says this, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God." Hey, heads up, you crucified. He says, "You killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." He goes on to say later on, in verse 38, he says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of" who? In the name of you? In the name of me? No. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those who are a long way off." Heads up, that's us. That's us sitting here in this room today. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. You see, Peter didn't say, "Hey, this is about you getting right yourself." Didn't say, "You are the point. You are the hearers." No, he said, "You just crucified this Jesus, and he is the one who redeems. He is the one that we need to point to." And why does this matter for us? Because the same holds true thousands of years later. God had a plan. We sinned and thought we were better and wanted to be like God ourselves. And so we ran away. And at just the right time, because we couldn't right ourselves in relationship with a perfect and holy God, he sent his only son out of love, what we learned about last week, died in our place, raised again, defeating sin and death. And he has given us and invited us to receive him and submit to him and give us his Holy Spirit today. The light of the world, the whole point of the story is to point the dead to him and the dead and sinful in me to Jesus. And that's what we should point to in everything we say and do on a Sunday morning. Everything to do is to point to the author and savior of our faith. We behold his radical forgiveness, his radical love and invitation, and it should cause us to shine in the broken parts of our souls. About 5-6 months ago, I had someone, I'm going to stay here. I'm getting a little crazy, I know. I had someone walk through the lobby, and in between services, before getting to teach at the 11 o'clock, and he came up to me, and he said, "Hey, better be a good one today." I'm like, "Whoa, no pressure, right? Right in the middle of second service, better be a good one today." And he was probably half joking, half not, and I quickly tried it back. "Good thing I'm not trying to satisfy you." And I kind of meant that in a good way, but also in a mean way. So just a confession happening here. But here's what I was trying to say. I was trying to amplify and point to the only one I care to satisfy. And that's Jesus. You see, if you leave here impressed with me, we failed. But if you leave here loving Jesus more, that's where we win. That's where we've succeeded. If you hear anything from me on a Sunday morning at the end of it that doesn't point to Jesus being the one who saves and sanctifies our soul, come and seek clarity to me. Because it's not about us. And my heart and the elders' hearts and the staff's heart is that every connection that you experience, every small group that you're a part of, every equipping that we do, every leader we deploy, that the love of God through the person and work of Jesus is seen and displayed. That's our heart. To point to the Son of God in everything we say and do. And my challenge to you in this gathering is, do you come here just to be fed where you're the main point? Do you come here critiquing, "Hey, Mike, that was a good one. That was not so good one. That's a 3 out of 10 today," right? Do you come here to say, "Hey, that was a great worship set," or that wasn't that great. There was a transition that was off," and you come here with a critical spirit. Maybe you're coming here worshiping yourself instead of Jesus. Or are we coming here to see Jesus more clearly? We will aim to do that on our end. My question for you is, are you aiming to see Jesus, and our hearts are stirred, your hearts, to who Jesus is and what he has done on our behalf? That's the aim of everything we say and do as a church family in our gathering. So yes, we weekly gather around the Word of God to point to the Son of God, the author and perfecter of our faith. But it doesn't end there. It should lead us to be deployed by the Spirit of God into the mission of God. Be deployed by the Spirit of God into the mission of God. See, during times of war or exploration, these things called outposts were critical. These were small fortified stations established far from home, far from the homeland of the country that was sending it, often in dangerous or unfamiliar territory. You see, they weren't the final destination, but they were essential to the mission. Soldiers or scouts would come in weary, wounded, bloodied, low on supplies or morale, and at the outpost, here's what happened. They would get bandaged up. They would get fed. They would get resupplied. People would serve them to get reoriented back to that week of heading back into the fray. And they weren't meant to settle at the outpost. It was a place of preparation, not retirement. No soldier stayed there to relax. It was always about being sent back out stronger and more focused than when you came in. You see, that thought should be the same thought of our Sunday gatherings. We are meant to be an outpost here on Sunday mornings. Yes, we want to feed you, but more than that, to serve others that are hurting, to resupply you as a soldier for the mission ahead of you this week. And our gathering should always point to being deployed by the Spirit of God, yes, in our own sanctification, but to the others to know the greatness of our God through Jesus. And this is what happened when Jesus encountered anyone that he miraculously healed or showed them who they were. Did they just keep it to themselves? No, oftentimes, even against Jesus' advice, they went and shared it. They couldn't hold what they had learned, what they had experienced, the transformation that they had experienced. They shared it with everyone around them. Samaritan woman, right? Come hear about the person who told me everything about who I was. You see, the same should be of every single gathering on a Sunday morning. Acts 2:46-47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And what does it say? They praised God and they had favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And what happened from this point on? The rest of this Acts of the Holy Spirit, the disciples went out and they shared. Often at the cost of their own lives, at the expense of their comforts, they went and shared the great news of Jesus Christ with all they could. And we are the direct recipients of someone sharing that news with us today. You see, our gatherings aren't meant to be a cruise ship for comfort, but an outpost and a battleship for the kingdom. We weren't meant to just be comforted here and stay here and sit on our hands and say, it's just about me. But the Spirit of God should take the implanted Word of God spoken to us, cause us to be pointed deeper into the affections of what Jesus has done, and cause us to get bloodied during the week with maybe sharing with our kids the love of Jesus, our coworkers, our fellow students, to work our jobs as the best engineers, the best teachers, the best finance people, the best counselors, the best any insert job title here. And people should not only see that in our lives, but also we should speak the hope of Jesus and the gospel to them. And then, after a tiring, bloody week, on mission, we come back, get fed, encouraged, healed, and we go back out and do it again. You see, the early church's gatherings weren't an end to themselves. They were a launch pad for mission, and so ours should be too. The Spirit empowered them to go from gathered to scattered. And the same Spirit sends us into our homes, workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods to make Jesus known. You know, it's not my hope here. I've been here 2 years now, and we have grown at Grace UB from 480 lives to probably closer with kids and adults, 750 lives in 2 years. That's a lot of growth. But that doesn't excite me. Getting butts in seats, I'm aware of it, and I'm aware God's doing something, and so I don't want to discredit that, but if we just get shifting Christians from church to church, all in a room, that doesn't mean transformation is happening. That doesn't mean mission is happening. I know God is doing that, but are we engaging that on a weekly basis, seeing people come to Christ, baptizing them, deploying, equipping them to go out and do the mission? That is what excites me, and I'm excited for, and I see it happening, but I believe it's going to happen more as we take this gathering and church thing called church seriously. And that's the mission and vision we are invited into today. So my call to you is what I've shared. Yes, I want you to think here when you come in here and prepare your hearts that you will hear about who this God is. Pray before you come in. I want you to think about when you serve those kids or serve at a connection point and meeting a face or set up or tear down, whatever you're doing here on a Sunday morning, I want you to point back to Jesus in everything you say and do. But even from here, as you leave here from what you've learned, I want to send you with a question. Where are you sending me this week, Lord? And who are you calling me to share it with? Even something small, it's an opportunity to share how God is growing you to share with others in the greatness of our God. And if we do that, like I shared before, it changes not only this room, it changes a community. It changes a workplace. It changes a marriage. And that's what we get to be a part of each and every week. It's a sacred opportunity to stand on the word of God, to point to Jesus, and to be deployed into the mission. And that's the good news that we get to be a part of. Let's pray, church. God, I thank you. I thank you that we get the opportunity to know you, to know your love, to know your faithfulness, to know your steadfastness. Each and every week where we can be equipped, reproved, corrected from what you've revealed about who you are and your story and wanting to win us back into how you created us to live. Thank you for your revelation of yourself. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not get it more excited for the other gatherings more than we do to gather with the church family week in and week out. Some people don't even get that grace, but we do. Thank you. God, and I thank you that we aren't the heroes, that Jesus was the perfect one. That he laid down his life when he didn't have to, but because of his great love for us, he did, and he lives again. And thank you for sending your Spirit, not to just live outside of us, but to live within us, and you sanctify and grow us and call us into mission to share this great news that we've been welcomed into. And my heart, God, is if there's anyone hurting here that is apart from your love and apart from you being calling you, Lord, God, I pray that we would repent and believe just like the first church did. To say, Jesus, you are my all in all, not me. To begin to come into the freedom as we were designed to live in loving relationship with you, God. Help us to be an outpost here at Grace Community University Boulevard campus. To share this news, to bring others in who are hurting, and bring them to our tables, to love them, to care for them, but to share the great news of Jesus and what he has done on our behalf. We don't deserve it. And you didn't deserve death, but we got your life in exchange. Help us to walk daily and weekly in remembrance as a church family towards that end. God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' strong name, amen. We're going to sing this last song. There's going to be a few people over in prayer. If you need prayer for anything, I want to invite you to come pray with them. And then we'll pray at the end of our service as well. So let's stand and sing in response to the word today, church. Church, we get the beautiful grace of gathering around the one name of Jesus. And this is a gift that we get to celebrate week in, week out. And that's my heart for us, is that we take this seriously, don't just take this as a passing thing, but an opportunity to experience the Creator God, the Savior Jesus, and to be deployed by the Spirit of God. That's a gift towards us. Hey, we have an opportunity to pray because this is the start of a school season. We have some kiddos up here. We prayed over them at the first service, and we have some kids that are going in to the school season. So we want to take a moment to pray for them. But also, I want to pray for those who are our educators here that serve our schools, administrators, those who are homeschool mom or dads or that are a part of the education process. We are grateful for you. You are vital to our community, and we thank you for stepping into those spaces, and you cultivate the surroundings and environments that our children get to learn in. So I just want to say thank you. And so no matter what school context you find yourself in, it is an opportunity to get engaged the mission, and we want to deploy these kids into those and to be cared for well in this. So would you pray with me as a community as we pray over these kids and for our families and those sending kids off maybe for first time? So pray with me, church. God, we thank you for these beautiful lives that you give us the opportunity to steward. We pray as they prepare their hearts for another year, God, you go with them and they sense your presence and your truth, God. God, that they, as they learn and as they play sports and as they engage with their friends, God, I pray that your peace comforts them in times of anxiousness. That God, that they just walk forward expecting to see you in their little beautiful hearts. And God, I pray for our teachers here in this room, our administrators, the different roles within the school education system they play. God, we thank you for them. We thank you for their giftedness, and we ask that you empower them and give them peace as they prepare for another year. God, use them as vessels for your mission to point others towards you and to cultivate relationships that make you known within their capacity in their space, God. And I pray for the first time moms and dads sending their kids away. God, be near to them. Know that you have better control of them than we do. And you are going with them. Prepare them as these weeks unfold ahead. Be with their hearts. God, we thank you for our church family that you have given us as a gift. And these are part of that. God, we are grateful for who you are and what you have done on our behalf. We love and praise you in Jesus' strong, mighty, and precious name. Amen. Hey, church, go be the church and be on mission as you worship. We love you. Have a great week.